Hopefully you'll learn, hopefully you'll enjoy learning some things about it. I asked a few people to look up some verses, and I'm going to ask you guys to read those verses. So I want us to read and listen to a couple of places where the Feast of Unleavened Bread pops up or the Passover pops up that maybe you haven't thought much about. Let's see. Ellen, did I give you, whichever one I gave you, Ellen, would you read yours? Did I give you Acts chapter 20? Acts 12. Okay, go ahead and read yours, Ellen, if you don't mind.
And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread.
Thank you, Ellen. So during the days of unleavened bread, I've read that 1,000 times and didn't think a thing about it. We're going to talk about that tonight. Randy, would you read your passage? Thank you. So there's the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. Tony, would you read your passage?
Luke 2:41-43. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the Lord Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know.
Thank you. So that's the story of Jesus, the boy in the temple. The parents forgot. Well, that whole thing happened when Jesus' family went to celebrate Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And finally, Sheila, would you read your passage from the book of Acts?
These men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. And that was Acts 20:5.
Thank you, Sheila. So that's when Paul is traveling and he has his companions with him and they talk about, we stayed here during the days of unleavened bread, then we went there. So one of my goals tonight is for us to learn about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It pops up probably 12 times. And I'd like for us to learn that. And also, I hope that we can take something home with us from tonight. So I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 12, the very first, the real Passover. So Exodus chapter 12. We learn that the Israelites are to get a perfect lamb. They're to kill it on the 14th of the month at twilight, put the blood on their doors. And Darren, if I do that, is that? There we go. They're to put the blood on their doors on the 14th. God's going to pass through Egypt. And then for 7 days, they're going to celebrate. They're going to have a time of remembrance. So I'm going to read Exodus 12, verses 14 through 20. And this is God speaking. This day, meaning this Passover day, shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwelling places. You shall eat unleavened bread. So I have a question. Why in the world is God against leaven? It says it like 5 times in there. Don't eat bread with leaven in it. Do you guys remember why they were supposed to not eat any leaven for those 7 days? Paul.
Leaven is a picture of evil.
It's a picture of evil. Okay. Sheila.
Haste.
Haste. That's right. They were to remember that Passover night. When they didn't have time to let their bread rise and get nice and fluffy, they had to have their shoes on, their backpacks on. That's how I told the kids on Sunday. Their staffs, their belts, they were ready to go. They ate really, really fast because Pharaoh, when he saw what was going to happen to Egypt, he was going to say, right now, get up, leave. Don't wait till the morning. You don't have a week to pack. You're gone now. Start walking. So the Israelites, they didn't have time to get the feast together. They had the lamb, they had some bread that didn't have leaven in it. They just ate it, and they got out of there. And so for the rest of this feast, for all of their generations, they were to remember that night. They were to remember their haste. They were to remember how Pharaoh told them to get out right then. So we see it's 7 days, this feast of unleavened bread. The first and the seventh day, there is a holy assembly. It's like an extra Sabbath. You don't work on the first day. You don't work on the seventh day. No work, no school, no going to Walmart. Instead, you're going to stop and remember and to celebrate what God had done. How God had rescued his people from slavery. After 10 horrible plagues, Pharaoh finally let them go. And they're to remember what God had done. So we have the first, the seventh for 7 days, and no leaven. All right, so we're next going to turn to a few different passages, and we're going to look at what each passage has to teach us about this feast. So we're going to turn to Leviticus chapter 23. It's going to be kind of a Bible drill night. You can stand up when you find it. I don't have candy, but I will praise you. Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 8. And I want to look at what do we learn in Leviticus about this feast that we did not know in Exodus. So this is all, good job, Doc. So this is all Exodus right here. And now we're going to learn what Leviticus has. Doc, since you found it, would you read verses 4 through 8 for us? Thank you, Dot. So we see it's a week long. There's a holy assembly on the first day, on the seventh day. What's something new we learn from these verses that we didn't see in Exodus? We see in verse 8, you shall present an offering. So this feast has something to do with some special offerings. You guys see that? We didn't see that in Exodus. We see it in Leviticus. So there's some offerings. We don't know what, but we're going to find out in Numbers chapter 28. Go. Numbers chapter 28. We'll see what we learn from Numbers 28, starting in verse 16 and going to verse 25. Shout out when you get it. I see your hand, Phil. All right, so we're in Numbers now. Verses 16 to 25. Phil, would you read that?
On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. The 15th day of this month is the feast of unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. The first day you shall hold the congregation, you shall do the customary work. You shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord. 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs in the first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah you shall offer for a bull, 2/10 of a ram, you shall offer 1/10 of an ephah for each of the 7 lambs. Also, 1 goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. You shall offer these besides the burnt offering in the morning, which is the regular burnt offering. In this manner, you shall offer the food of the offering made by the fire daily for 7 days as a sweet aroma. Offer besides the regular burnt offering and on the seventh day you shall have a holy convocation, you shall do no customary work.
Thank you, Phil. So again, we have right after the Passover, 7 days of unleavened bread. You don't eat leaven. The first day, the seventh day, is a special day, a holy assembly. You're offering things, but what do we learn in Numbers that we didn't learn in Leviticus or in Exodus? Yeah, we learn exactly what the priests were to offer, right? So we have 2 bulls, 1 ram, 7 male lambs, a year old, without blemish. Where have we heard that before? Yeah, and we also heard it Sunday, right? In the Passover, a male lamb, 1 year old, no blemish. Well, here we have to have 7 for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And also we have their grain offering. An ephah is 22 liters. So 3/10 of an ephah is 3/10 of 22. So I hope that helps you. A little math there. I don't know if it works that way. I need Dr. Nye over there to tell me what that is. So if you hired pastors for their math skills, I would not be here. So thank you for your mercy. And also 1 male goat for a sin offering to make atonement. So you've got special rules. You've got special sacrifices. You have special days. You have special ceremonies. All this work to remember what God did in the Passover. That's the whole point of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is to remember, to not forget, to teach your children so that the Israelites as a people, as a nation, could remember God's mighty act of deliverance. Sorry?
This is written by Moses. Mm-hmm. When was all this added? Because they didn't all do all that on Passover night. When did they
Well, the best answer I can give you is where it's written in the Bible. And so I don't know when exactly. I can assume that, you know, Deuteronomy, the setting is they're by the Jordan. They're about to go over to the Promised Land. They've done all their wilderness wanderings. They're about to go over. Moses is about to die. And before he dies, he gives them a giant speech. We're not in Deuteronomy. I'm sorry. We're in Numbers. I skipped ahead. Sorry?
This would be the beginning. Yeah.
So this would be the beginning of the 40 years. And we're about to turn to Deuteronomy, which is at the end of the 40 years. And so I think it changes for a couple reasons. We'll look at some in just a minute. But it changes, I think, because there's a new generation and there's a lot more people. And in order to continue to remember, I think there had to be some changes. So we see a development. You're right, Dot. The goal remains the same. Don't forget what God did. Remember that night when God rescued you. All right, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16, call out when you get it. That was quick. Who said that? Good job, Chris. I don't even have it yet. All right, here we go. Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 through 8. Chris, will you read it for us? Yes, ma'am.
Passover unto the Lord thy God, from the month of the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith. Yes, the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste. That thou remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts 7 days. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which you sacrificed the first day of even remain all night until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou gainest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go out to thy tents. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with it.
Thank you, Chris. So again, we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread right after Passover, 7 days. You cannot have any leaven in your house. The first day, the seventh day, there's a holy assembly. And you are working to remember as a people, as a family, as a nation, what God had done. So what do we see in Deuteronomy that we have not seen before about this feast? Paul?
Now you're sacrificing not your house, but God's heaven.
That's exactly right. We see three times where Moses says, you're not sacrificing anywhere, but at the place that the Lord will choose. Let me read verses 5 and 6 to you. You may not offer the Passover sacrifice within any of your towns that the Lord your God is giving you. Is that what they were doing before this command? Yes, they were doing it wherever they were. But now, verse 6 says, but at the place that the Lord your God will choose. And so there's a new requirement in Deuteronomy, a new rule, for lack of a better term. They weren't just doing it outside in the backyard. They had to come to the place where the Lord would choose, which ended up being Jerusalem, where the temple was built. And so I think the reason for this is when Israel first came out of Egypt, they were all together. When they wandered in the desert, they were all together. And so when they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they did it together. It's like if Hickory wanted to have a celebration, all of Hickory, we just get together and we celebrate. That's pretty easy. But as Israel got into the Promised Land, they spread out. They got many more in number. They started going to these towns and villages and cities, and they weren't all together anymore. And that's okay, because they were a nation. But when it came time to remember, to celebrate together, they had to come to one place if they were going to really do it together. It'd be like if North Carolina wanted to celebrate Centennial or whatever we're at, and they'd say, all right, everyone come to Raleigh, and we're going to celebrate. Well, that's kind of what's going on here. God told them, I want all of you to come together, and we're all going to celebrate together. And that's when we read from Luke 2, when Jesus' family took him to Jerusalem. They were going to Jerusalem in accordance with this. This is the reason they traveled to Jerusalem for that feast. That's why Jesus was in the temple as a boy. So we see that they had to all come to Jerusalem. And I think we have time. We're going to take a little detour. And I want to ask you a question here. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6, I really like the way, Chris, your translation had it. I'll read what I have. But at the place the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell in it, there you shall offer the Passover sacrifice. Listen to this. In the evening at sunset, at the time you came out of Egypt. Okay, so at evening, the time you came out of Egypt. I'm going to read from Exodus 12, verse 29. This is back in Exodus. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, after midnight. God passed through at midnight. Pharaoh rose up after midnight and told the Israelites, get out. So in Exodus 12, it looks like the Israelites left after midnight, right? You come to Deuteronomy 16, verse 6, and it says, in the evening at sunset, at the time you came out of Egypt. Now, if I were a skeptic or someone who did not want to submit to God, I would point at this and say, that's a contradiction. So what would you guys tell me? How do we reconcile this seeming contradiction? Evening, after midnight? Sheila?
How about those, so many of them, they were supposed to stop at everybody's house and ask them what they
That
would take them
all. It would. Anyone else? Paul?
The difference in time from here in California is 3 hours to the people where they were located.
That's true, yeah. They're in a different place in Deuteronomy, a different time zone. Yeah. Well, I think what Deuteronomy is getting at is it's looking at the whole Passover event as when Israel left Egypt. It's looking at it as the whole thing. So when did Passover start? Oh, it started at twilight. That's when we killed our lambs. When did you leave Egypt? Oh, we left at Passover. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it's not looking for this very detailed, when did your foot actually leave the border of Egypt? But when was the event that you guys left Egypt? And they would say, well, the Passover. And that started at twilight. That started in the evening. Does that make sense? Okay, any questions, comments? Okay, so we have looked at the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and I've scribbled a bunch of junk up here. But what do we do with this tomorrow? What do we do with this tonight? You know, we saw how the Israelites worked and tried really hard to remember what God had done. And so I know that in my life, it can be easy to just keep on plugging day after day, the responsibilities of each day, and I don't stop very often to intentionally remember what God has done for me, for my family, for our church. And so my charge to us, to myself, to you, is to make some time to do that. And I stopped a week ago, and I thought, how has God been faithful to Sandy Ridge just in the past 2 years? And I thought of some neat stuff, and I want to read that to you. In the past 2 years, Sandy Ridge Baptist Church has paid off its last bit of debt. In March 2019, we paid off our last little bit of debt. We are now debt-free. Praise the Lord. That is a blessing. God was faithful. Another thing that's happened in the past 2 years is God has brought Pastor Jordan and Whitney, and they have been an amazing blessing in an already just a short time. So praise God for Jordan and his family. Another thing, we have not had a single member pass away from COVID. In a global pandemic, 400 people, and not one person has passed away from COVID. Praise the Lord. That should be a surprise, an occasion of praise. And lastly, I thought, even in a crazy year that we've had, with all the shutdowns, the lockdowns, jobs, schools closing, our membership is actually growing, and our giving is actually growing. Praise the Lord, that is God's faithfulness blessing Sandy Ridge Baptist Church. So praise God. And one of my hopes for this time each week is that it's a time for us as a church to stop and to remember. So as we're thinking of praises, as we're thinking about how God has blessed us and answered prayers, hopefully it's a time corporately where we can stop and remember. And I have to say, it's God's providence that we're talking about remembering important days, like 4 days before Easter. How about the most important day in the history of creation, when Jesus rose from the dead? The day that validates our faith, the day that proves our victory over sin, the day that gives us hope for our own resurrections after our deaths, the day that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Messiah. That's in 4 days. So can we guys, as families, as individuals, set aside some time this week just to remember what Jesus did, just to read some passages, sing some songs, however your family wants to do it, but I encourage you to take some time to do that. Let's not be a forgetful people, one that remembers and is faithful to give God praises. Any questions? All right, Jack?
Way that the offering must occur. So it's an act of worship as well. That our worship to the living God, the holy God, is his way. Not that, you know, whatever we think it is, that we turn to worship just like in the specifically granted these goals, because this and that. So I just want to say that in coming before him is his way.
That's true. God tells us how to worship him. That's right. Anyone else? Pastor Jordan.
I just thought it was really fantastic how it says that in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 16, the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. And so I was also just reading Amos, when Amos talks about that day, says that the sun will go down at midday. And so although it was high noon, basically when Christ died, the sixth hour, the sun was dark. Mm-hmm. And so the sun went down. Jesus was dying. the sun goes down here in the Passover. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it's what the Passover is pointing to. Amen. All right, let's pray.